This is a HeadGum Original.
Listen, I'm just circling back on our little chat earlier, and I thought you might want to know.
Thought I might want to know what?
Francis Meyer is standing on my lawn right now.
Wait, what? Cork? Hello? I call Cork back several times, but I'm sent to his voicemail. I then call Lyle. As much as I've been bullied by Lyle in ways that no 41-year-old man ever should, i.e. pinning me to the ground of a Buffalo Wild Wings to smell his extra finger or calling me sugar tits, he has a right to know that Francis is alive. He doesn't answer either. Now, I admit, this is the exact moment where I should have gone to the police, but I wasn't eager for another disappointing phone call with Officer Crum in the Napa PD. He insulted me, and he made me feel small. I'm not a little man. I'm a journalist, okay? In the heat of the moment, I felt like I needed to take matters into my own hands. I psych myself up in front of the bathroom mirror, shrieking maniacally. My therapist says primal yelling is a significant stress reliever. I scream myself hoarse. I'm ready. Adrenaline is starting to kick in at this point in ways that only a yerba mate had made me feel previously. I can't drink coffee. It gives me heart palpitations. Armed with nothing but my audio equipment, I set out into the still dark morning to find Francis Meyer. It's cold, but I'm wearing a jacket. If you're already familiar with this case and how the rest of the day panned out, you know this is the worst decision of my life. I'm Miles Fletcher for Public Radio America. This is Corked. I pull up to Le Mans Vineyards in my Kia Soul, which, much to my chagrin, still has the words pig fuck stained on the windshield. I'm swinging by Le Mans on my way to Cork's in hopes of finding Lyle, as he might be the only person who could de-escalate a potentially ugly situation between Cork and Francis. The tasting room area is filthy. It's littered with a slew of hungover bodies passed out in the statue garden, some of which are being tended to by scantily clad field nurses administering IV drips. It's a war zone. It's difficult to determine where the previous night's festivities end and this morning's begin. It's almost as though Lyle's winery doesn't subscribe to the atomic clock. It's 6:15 a.m., but the tasting room is already extremely crowded with what appears to be several bachelor parties, career alcoholics, vagrants, juggalos, Romani travelers, a make-a-wish kid, and curiously, former Indianapolis Colt Tony Siragusa.
The goose is loose. Hey, where's Lyle?
I find Harley Jackson perched stoically on top of a rascal scooter on the back porch of Le Mans' tasting room. She's surrounded by what can best be described as 12 to 15 dogs whose rightful owners must be worried sick about them. That's not a guess, that's a fact, because there are lost dog flyers everywhere. She wears a novelty t-shirt that reads FBI, Female Body Inspector, and Tampa Bay Buccaneer Zuba's pants with a large hole in its crotch. She sports a single croc on one foot and the other foot is bare and swollen. In fact, her entire left leg is fully exposed and appears to have tripled in size since our last interview. As though, I hate to say it, she may be suffering from the final stages of an acute case of elephantitis. Her dogs begin to woof at me in unison as I approach. She silences them by raising a single fist in the air, like some kind of dog whisperer. A Pied Piper of sorts. A canine savant, even. She lowers her Oakleys, exposing two lazy eyes.
Hark! Who goes there?
Harley reaches for her crossbow, but stops short of shooting me. Hey.
State your name and business, bro. You're on private property that just so happens to be open 24 hours to the public, so tread lightly, amigo.
Harley, it's Miles Fletcher.
Miles what?
Miles Fletcher.
What?
Harley, you know me.
Oh, fuck. I do?
Yeah,
Okay, I'm gonna level with you, dog. I had an umbilical cord wrapped around my neck for 2 out of 3 trimesters, and it's done a number on me developmentally. There have been a few setbacks.
Okay.
I have what medical professionals call a goldfish's memory if the goldfish also had dementia.
A doctor said that?
No, man, I don't fuck with doctors. My uncle Ray Ray is a fully licensed opioid distributor, and I guess he kind of thinks I'm a dumbass. Plus, getting white girl wasted almost every fucking day isn't helping. But hey, that's why I keep my clues on me at all times, memento style.
Harley rummages through her fanny pack, one of her googly eyes fixed on me. She produces a fat stack of index cards and shuffles through them haphazardly, dropping several. They're carried away by the breeze, but she doesn't notice.
Oh man, you know what I need to invest in is a trapper keeper. Okay, let's see here. This one just says vaping is bad now? Wow, these are dark times we're living in, my dude.
She takes a hit of her habanero-flavored Juul begrudgingly, and then lets out a sopping wet cough. From my vantage point, it appears a still-living guppy flaps out of her phlegm under the floor.
Hey, what do you think this card means?
I'm not sure. I mean, it looks like it could be a social security number.
Whoa! Numbers, man.
Okay, Harley.
Hey, what do you think this card means?
It says happy birthday.
Yeah, what does that mean, though?
Well, open it up.
Okay.
This is a birthday card from your parents, Harley.
What?
There's also a check in here for $25.
Oh, fuck! That's rad. I better hold on to that one.
Okay.
Okay, here we go. Here we go. This one says Miles Fletcher is banned from Le Monde.
Just tell
me. And it's written in Lyle's handwriting. That doesn't sound very good for you at all, my dude.
Harley, please. I just really need to speak with Lyle, and then I'll go.
Mission impossible, my dude. Lyle got a text and then bazounced. Didn't say where he was going. Or maybe he did. I just don't see it here in the clue pile.
Fuck the clue pile. Okay, what time was this? Was this recent? Harley looks up at the morning sun as though she's using it to tell time, but then seemingly forgets to look away. I hear the faintest sound of sizzling as she stares, mouth agape. Harley!
Huh?
Hey!
What?
Wake up!
What happened?
Your eyes rolled back and you just started pointing at the sun.
Whoa!
Where did you go?
I swear to God I went back in time.
I can promise you that didn't happen.
I was a witch when I went back.
Harley!
What?
Focus, please!
I was focused.
What time was this?
Oh, right. Okay, honestly, it was probably like 10 minutes before Jeffers showed up.
Wait,
they like just missed each other.
Wait. Jeffers?
What?
Jeffers Tatum Trench.
Yeah.
Like a tall, gangly vagrant with meth teeth.
Yeah.
It looks like a sentient ventriloquist dummy or a haunted doll of sorts.
Right.
Like a garbage pail kid became a real boy. That Jeffers Tatum Trench.
Uh-huh.
Like slick with Crisco.
Yeah.
Smells like mulch.
For sure.
Just like absolutely disgusting.
That's quite enough.
Footsteps approach from the far side of the tasting room's wraparound porch, just out of view from where I stand.
Welcome back.
Jeffers appears, wearing an all-white golf uniform, white gloves, and cowboy boots with spurs affixed to them. Jeffers?
Salutations, Miles. It's been a minute. No scratch that. It's been a spell.
Jesus, Jeffers, a MAGA hat? Really? Jeffers coyly brings an index finger to one of his dimples.
I'm baby.
Jeffers lifts his sweat-stained hat for a second to smooth back his greasy hair, exposing a heinous bleach-blonde rat tail.
The open road changes, man. Where the rubber meets the road, that's where you'll really find yourself.
I mean, I've been on a road trip before.
Okay.
You look awful. You look emaciated.
Mm-hmm.
What's all over your face? Is that sawdust? Jeffers sheepishly paws at his face and inspects the debris.
I've been sustaining myself on nutritional yeast since we ran out of quote-unquote food back at the Texarkana border.
So you ran out of food almost immediately then?
Mm-hmm.
And you've been sustaining yourself entirely on nutritional yeast since then?
I had a deviled egg in Utah.
Okay, look, Jeffers, I just gotten word from Lyle's business partner, Cork, that Francis Meyer is alive.
So what?
You need to pull the plug on whatever crap you and Booger and Kimber are planning because Lyle, or Buzzy, is probably innocent.
Miley Cyrus Fletcher. I don't know whether to boop your nose or box your ears. Do you see Booger and Kimber? They fucked off and went to Burning Man. Left me to my own devices back in Nevada. I just got on a Greyhound bus in the dead of night, went running all over Hell's Half Acre trying to find this place. Finally had to funny games a family of four for the Addy, bless their hearts.
What does that mean, you funny games a family of four for the Addy? Like a home invasion?
Of sorts.
Probably could have just Googled it, Jeffers. I've showed you Google. Every time we've seen each other, I've showed you and reintroduced Google to you.
Is that what you call it?
It's, you know what it's called.
Yeah, all right. Google, yeah, sure. I thought you were saying Gubble or something.
You thought I was saying Gubble.
Well, I was thinking, what's Gubble?
But you can hear the difference, right? You can hear the difference. Say Gubble and Google. You can hear the difference, right?
I know. I Googled. .com.
Don't touch my stomach.
I got a stomach. You got a midriff looking like that.
Son of a bitch.
I'm gonna smack that little pretty mouth of yours if you keep giving me lip with it.
Okay, you shouldn't
now,
have been...
Now, in light of what you've disclosed just now, there's been a slight change in plans. I was gonna wait for Buzzy to get back, but if you know where he is, then far be it from me to look a gift horse in the mouth. Or any horse, for that matter. I'm fucking scared of horses.
Oh, God.
I was diagnosed with equinophobia on the road by a doctor. Diagnosed me with horse fear.
Okay.
I'd prefer not to get too into the weeds about it right now if it's all the same to ye.
You know, this was a mistake. I shouldn't have come here. In fact, I'm calling the police. As I reach for my phone and start dialing the Napa PD, Jeffers' tone changes.
Listen, Miles. You're gonna take me to see Buzzy stabbed.
Okay.
Not because you want to, but because you have to.
Jeffers lifts his shirt, exposing a gun and what appears to be a freshly inked tattoo of the young adult novel, The Giver.
Jesus,
Jeffers, are you pulling a fucking gun on me?
He slowly removes his gun from his waistband and smirks at me menacingly.
Put that down. You know, you're being a real jerk right now. All right, I don't want to use that language. I don't even want to use this tone. But you're being a jerk.
It's nothing personal, Miles. But Buzzy and me, we have unfinished business.
Okay, you know what?
Here's the deal, Miles. I would never hurt you, but I will clip you in one of your scrawny little chicken wings with a hollow point bullet if you force my hand.
I mean, of course that would hurt me. Maim me, even.
I'm gonna put this gun to your head.
You know what? Whoops. I'm gonna call your bluff. I don't think you're serious.
One.
I don't think,
one,
I don't
two,
think you, you'd
pull
do
the trigger.
It. I honestly don't think you would do
I'm
it.
I'm sorry, but I'm going to. You wanna say your last final goodbye? Say I love you?
No, I don't wanna say bye to you. Put the gun down.
I could do anything I want, Miles. I'm gonna shoot you right now.
Jeffers.
Oh, it feels, it's like rusted or something.
Okay.
I'm gonna take you hostage. Click, click.
Jeffers takes a step towards me and speaks in a seductive, hushed tone. I can feel myself getting an ear infection in real time from his hot breath, which smells like a buffet right before it closes. He caresses my cheek with the barrel of his gun.
I like you, Miles. I do. In fact, back in Dumb, I pledged fealty to you.
Let go of my hand.
But I did so silently in my head, so you probably weren't aware that fealty had been pledged. That being said, I'm afraid my blood feud with one Buzzard Baldanza takes precedence right now.
Jeffers,
even my co-star app says it's time for me to reap the benefits of work set in motion a long time ago.
Jeffers.
I got to honor the cosmos, Miles.
Jeffers, what did I tell you about touching my face? Okay, stop
you
it.
You understand.
Stop. Oh, God, you're getting yeast dust all over me. It's my fucking eye, you sex pest.
I'm baby.
I hate that.
I'm a little baby.
Do it. Shoot me.
I will.
Your nails are 6 inches.
All the better to scratch your back with, Miley.
No, get out of here. Fuck. And his name's Buzzard? Did you say his full name is Buzzard?
Yes.
How has that never come up?
Let's go for a ride, Miley.
Okay.
Gorgeous night, huh, bro?
Sorry, are we just, like, exchanging pleasantries now with a gun to my head?
I think we are. I think that's where we are. So what do you think of the rat tail, Miley Ruhu?
It's a choice. Sort of an off-white eggshell color scheme you got going there, I guess.
It is.
I think I can smell it from here.
Mm-hmm.
Jeffers teases his rat tail, causing it to flop off his head onto the ground.
Crap.
He quickly snatches it back up and clips it onto the back of his head.
Okay. There we go.
Wow. Jeffers, is that just a chip clip?
Yep. Guess you could say I'm quite literally a fucking snack now.
No, you know what?
Okay, gun to your head. Would you say it makes me more of a snack or more of a ratchet ass hoe?
I mean, you do have a gun to my head, so.
Please say snack, please say snack, please say snack. If you don't say snack, I'm gonna kill myself.
Do you not remember showing it to me from the road?
Hmm?
You gave a self-conscious 10-minute preamble about your botched bleach job, which apparently chemically damaged the hair so badly it killed all of its roots.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You went on and on about it.
I think you've gone mad.
It was the same video where you were voguing naked to the Jurassic Park theme song?
Hmm? No. You know, it could have been a deepfake video.
Absolutely not a deepfake video.
Anyway, I think that's probably what that was.
I don't think anyone cares about you enough to deepfake you.
Yeah, it is weird. It's very weird.
You look like a snack. Is that what you want to hear?
Well, thank you.
Literally no one at Le Monde seems fazed by the fact that I'm being held at gunpoint. As we make our way to the guest lot, I turn to see Harley on all fours engaged in what appears to be a mouth tug-of-war over a raw T-bone steak with an English Mastiff.
I can bark too!
We drive almost an hour north to Cork's villa, an unbearably trying journey during which Jeffers ferociously licks himself clean like a cat the entire time.
Oh, Jesus, Jeffers, you're actively making yourself smellier. Mm. Do you even brush your teeth?
I got a rough tongue, Miles.
Licking's not brushing, okay? You need to brush your teeth with fluoride-based toothpaste.
Fluoride is a poison. Give it a googs.
I'm sick of Googling shit for you.
You know what else is poison? our goddamn water system. Just look at Flint.
Okay.
Hell, even Billy Gates is drinking literal shit down in Africa to prove a point.
Oh my god.
You ever have a tapeworm, Miles?
No.
I've had one living rent-free in my guts for the better part of a decade.
Ugh.
Goes by the name of Jericho.
Jeffers.
Sometimes he'll rear his ugly head if I dangle a Slim Jim just outside my beehole. But that little fucker's a wily opponent. He'll snag about a turkey jerky and go to ground before I'm able to yank him out by his freaking stack of dimes neck. In closing, water is bad and I have a parasite. Thank you for listening to my TED Talk.
I just asked if you brushed your teeth.
No.
I think most of your issues boil down to the fact that you're drinking water out of public dog bowls.
Don't yuck my yum. Ain't nothing cleaner than a pooch's pie hole.
Okay.
Have you ever seen a dog with a cold?
Have I what?
Also, what a reductive statement. Oh my god. I'm not on the decline because of the dog well water. I'm on the decline because I'm addicted to crack.
Okay.
I'm a crackhead, Miles.
Sit down. Sit down.
Watch the road.
Stop distracting me.
Okay. Watch the road, though.
Okay, I'm watching the road.
Okay.
Oh, my God. When I'm around you, I, like, long for the smell of dog shit.
What? You watch your damn mouth, bitch.
Okay.
Ain't gonna be no...
We finally arrive and park on the street just outside, entering on foot to make as little noise as possible.
Dang!
Jeffers. The house appears quiet and dark inside. There are no signs anyone is home except for a fallen Segway in the driveway with its neon LED lights still on. Coco Jumbo by Mr. President plays on its internal speakers. Jeffers approaches the Segway as covertly as his severe limp allows and gives me a series of nonsensical SWAT hand signals, after which each of them he says over as if he's talking into a walkie-talkie.
Stay frosty, Miles. Mind your 3 o'clock on the approach. A tango could be coming in hot on our rendezvous. Son of a bitch.
Jeffers.
My allergies are acting a damn fool out here.
Okay.
I ain't used to this California tree jizz.
Brushing aside Jeffers' crass description of pollen, I immediately recognize the Segway as Lyle's. Thanks to a bumper sticker that reads, quote, "If you are not sucking or fucking, then you are cucking." Jeffers peers cautiously into Cork's living room window. He then drops to his knees and begins snorting around in the grass on all fours like a truffle pig.
Hey, what are you doing? I'm casing a joint. Not sure if you're aware, but B&Es are sort of a side hustle of mine.
Yeah, it's come up a few times, seeming you did a home invasion on a family. It's just, I don't know, the front door is open, so maybe we just walk in?
Okay, so you just want to walk in.
The door's wide open.
Okay, so you just want to walk in?
Jesus Christ. Yes, let's just walk right in.
Good looks, Kemosabe. You got a knack for this. Follow my lead now. I'm gonna hoot twice like a barn owl if I sense trouble. I'll honk thrice like a toothless goose if the coast is clear. And if we get out of this alive, may I kindly suggest that we mate for life like penguins do.
Hey, what have I told you?
What?
Do not touch my fucking face.
I meant mate, like how British people
okay.
refer to their best friends. Obvi.
Jeffrey.
Ooh, I'm gonna burp if I see an evil dog or something.
Okay.
Oh, they have a pet mule in the back who knows how to kick if you walk behind it. I'm gonna go, kick at that teepee. So you be on the lookout. All right, dude.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay, bro.
Jeffers gesticulates at me like some sort of high priestess breaking a spell.
I hereby release you as my hostage. If we're going to bring the ruckus, we need to arm you to the teeth, Miles.
Jeffers forages for all of 2 seconds and then hands me a sopping wet tree branch.
If anyone steps to you, give him a good thwack with the business end of this bow staff.
So just to be clear, you have a gun and I have a wet stick.
I'd kill to be the wet stick guy. Do you want trade?
Jeffers brandishes his gun at me haphazardly.
What does gun guy represent in America? You know what I mean?
No, I'm good. Just please don't point that thing at me.
You've got big stick energy and I'm here for it, Mr. Miles.
Did you just read that off your palm? Did you write that earlier?
I just thought it's a nice nut.
Jeffers, the sun's been out for hours.
Anyway, you're nice, I'm nice, we're bros.
Don't touch my face. What is wrong with you?
Dude, you're my dude, man.
Okay.
You're my bro.
Let's just go. Let's go.
All right, homie.
All right, homie. Oh, hey, your lob looks like it's falling off. Hold still for a second.
Okay, Miles. I'll hold still.
Okay, thank you.
Miles, be mindful of how you touch me now. I warned you how ticklish I am.
Okay.
I'm liable to blow our damn cover wide open with the slightest graze of my tender tummy.
So shut up. Shut the fuck up for 5 seconds.
Okay.
I, Miles Fletcher, am recording via concealed microphones on myself and Jeffers Tatum Trench to create an objective record of the events that transpire and any crimes we may bear witness to. Myself and Mr. Trench are willing participants entering a potentially dangerous situation.
Wow.
Pursuant to California's wiretapping two-party consent law, this record shall only serve as auditory notes for myself and Mr. Trench's testimony as witnesses, should such testimony ever be called upon in a court of law.
Miles, God, your diction, your journalistic bravado, a true command of the spoken word. You could knock me right over with a feather right now, Miles. Jesus Christ, hubba hubba.
Okay, enough. But thanks, man.
Uh-huh.
Okay, let's go. Jeffers, are you ready?
Oh, I was just thinking, maybe we don't.
Are you serious?
Hell, what if he butt-dialed you?
Who?
The guy!
Cork?
Yeah!
You think Cork butt-dialed me and delivered a very specific message?
Yeah! Hell, I've butt-dialed my bank and then farted out a freaking Zelle payment to my mama, and guess what, Mom? She's dead.
Okay.
What if it's all a trap? You can't spell lie without lie.
You absolutely can. You must.
Oh, you went to school.
Okay, yeah, I did go to school.
There's no I in lie.
Okay.
So explain to me what you're saying.
How to spell?
Listen, hey, dude. Hey, bro.
Yeah.
Dude.
What?
Bro.
What?
How's about you and me go enjoy ourselves? Take a sunrise stroll down to the Sunset Strip.
Jeffers.
People watch at a bus stop for a spell. Keep our eyes peeled for celebs while we're having a good old-fashioned loiter. I'll tell you what right now, Miles. If we run into Sinbad, I could die right then, because my life would be made.
Okay.
I've always been a chuckle fucker.
Jeffers, we're in Northern California, not Los Angeles, so I don't think we're going to be running into Sinbad.
Okay.
You drove more than halfway across the country for this.
Yeah.
You reached out to me almost a year ago on the extremely off chance I'd actually follow through, as I now have, to confront Lyle after all these years for sending you to prison.
Bro.
You literally held me at gunpoint not more than an hour ago to demand we come here.
Why are you bringing all this up?
Jeffers has a remarkable lack of regard for his own physical safety, so I assume his cold feet are due to a nervousness about possibly seeing Lyle again after all this time. We stand in silence for a minute or two before Jeffers leads the way inside without a word. We enter the front door and Jeffers instinctively makes a beeline for the hard drugs Cork keeps on a small decorative tray in his living room.
Powders! Look at all these powders!
Hey!
What do you think it is?
No!
Hey! What if it's cocaine?
Get out! Hey! My God!
I grab a spray bottle beside a large fern and give Jeffers a good spritz in the face as a disciplinary action.
Stop it.
He scampers into the corner and whimpers like a dog.
You're waterboarding me with Miracle-Gro, Molly! Stop!
Oh,
hey! Smile!
Focused! Did you hear that?
Yes.
We trace muffled movements up to the master bedroom. It's dark, but upon entering, I recognize Lyle sitting in a chair facing the doorway.
There he is. I'm gonna whoop your ass, buzzard. You Judas!
Jeffers scampers across the room to bum rush Lyle and immediately eats shit. I flick on the light switch, revealing Jeffers' splayed out body next to Cork Scalzo's naked corpse, crucified to the floor.
Hey, Miles. You wanna see a dead body?
Holy fucking shit, Cork! Oh God, oh God.
It's now apparent that Lyle has been handcuffed to the chair he's sitting in, and his mouth is duct taped shut. Jeffers gets up and limps his way over to him resolutely while brandishing his pistol. He looks at Lyle dead in the eye and scowls. In one smooth motion, Jeffers rips the duct tape off Lyle's mouth.
You sometimes are such an idiot, I wanna fight you. I'm gonna bonk you on the head.
Jeffers!
Here we go, ready? One, two.
Listen to me!
What?
Lyle's eyes widen with fear.
Run!
A shadowy figure appears in the doorway of the adjacent master bathroom, holding a large pistol. The figure steps into the light, revealing a shaved head and a frail body littered with unusual horrific scars and stick-and-poke tattoos. One of their eyes is manic, the other is completely frosted over with dead ocular tissue. To put it bluntly, this person has seen some shit. Before they even have a chance to speak, though, Jeffers inexplicably places his gun on the ground, kicks it across the floor, and then hoots frantically like a barn owl while flapping his wings.
It's jafaring me into submission! Molly, give it a good thwack with that stick now, you hear me, boy? Use the business end.
I lower my damp stick slowly and raise my arms in surrender.
Just take the stick.
Miles!
What?
Got you too, huh? It's those freaky-ass eyes. Motherfucker put me in the sunken place for a beat.
The deranged shadow person tosses me and Jeffers each a pair of fuzzy handcuffs that I have to assume were Cork's.
Cuff yourself to the chair! Now!
This is fucked.
You too.
Hey, I mean, these jabronis seem like small potatoes to me, Franny. What do you say we toss them back, catch and release style?
What, Franny? Holy shit. Francis Meyer?
Yeah, who wants to know?
Francis confiscates Jeffers' gun and places it on a nearby bureau. She snaps my stick over her leg effortlessly and then checks to make sure our handcuffs are tightly secured.
I'm Miles Fletcher. I'm actually a journalist investigating your disappearance. There's been a media circus in Napa since you went missing 7 months ago. It made national headlines.
Yeah, well, I was waylaid in Thailand.
Thailand? Jesus, a lot of people assumed you were dead at this point and that, well, Lyle was the culprit. Why isn't anyone else freaking the fuck out right now?
Lyle is the culprit. He's a fucking dumbass.
Oh, come on, Francis. It was an honest mistake.
And who's this freaking gypsy with the skin lesions?
It's a nutritional yeast infection, bitch. And I'm an open book, but it's a slow read. How much time you got, sister?
I got time enough for the cliff notes, you slender man hick.
Okay, I don't know who queefed in your casserole, lady. Ugh. But I could do without the name calling. The name is Jeffers Tatum Trench. Me and Buzzy, I mean Lyle.
That's me.
Yeah, we used to pal around in the sticks together, petty crimes, downloading Jerky Boy skits off Napster, after school snacks, Criterion Collection, cuddle puddles, and, you know, a lot of fucking and sucking. That was sort of our whole MO right there.
Got it.
Yeah, but it was like ancient Roman warrior style, okay, Sizzle Chest? In my mind, we were just a two-person 300, so the fucking and sucking was just all an extension of that. The warrior mindset. We learned it from Joe Rogan.
I don't want to dog walk your gay ass in front of your girlfriend, but you totally initiated all that crap.
Okay, well, just because I put your pecker in my mouth first doesn't mean I initiated it. Your pecker was out near my lips.
Okay, everyone, shut the fuck up! I just realized I don't care.
Sorry, how did you wind up in Thailand? Just trying to, like, do my due diligence as a journalist here and...
Okay, we get it, dude. You're a journalist.
Okay, don't...
I took an impromptu trip to Thailand. Is that a crime?
Please.
I'm a sommelier at the best restaurant in the world, and I have Delta Diamond Medallion status. And yes, I told Lyle he just didn't remember.
In my defense, I'd fallen on my head a lot that night. All I can remember is that we had a little bit of a fight. There were tears. There were fears, but nobody wanted to rule the world. I got home from Harley's, you weren't there, and I feared the worst. I assumed you had died.
The tears were all yours! And you filed a missing persons report before I even went missing, you dumbass! You trash man!
Absolutely. The cops did say I was reliably an unreliable narrator. Among other things, the other thing the cops said is they never seen anyone eat so many styrofoam cups while in holding.
Wait, what about the ransom note the cops found? And the threatening voicemails? This shit doesn't add up, right?
Doesn't add up. Well, how about you do the fucking math?
All right, honestly, in my heart of hearts, I just knew Frances had been taken, and I wanted to drum up as much publicity as possible for her and for Lamont.
What the fuck are you talking about?
There's no such thing as bad press. Have you guys even listened to The Art of the Deal on tape?
No.
I mean, I haven't, but I'm assuming that's in there, all that publicity stuff.
Oh, you piece of shit.
Okay, yeah, fair enough.
You fucking loser.
All true so far.
Okay, you know, I'm confused, though, okay? Because Frances, if you were on vacation in Thailand, then how do you wind up missing for 7 months? Huh?
Again, because of this gaping asshole.
Okay, we had great times. I was just trying to...
Hey, shut the fuck up! Shut the fuck up!
Okay.
Lyle left a pound of psilocybin mushrooms in the outer compartment of my suitcase. As soon as I landed in Suvarnabhumi Airport, drug-sniffing dogs zeroed in on my ass and they hauled me straight to a goddamn Thai prison!
I think they just call them prisons over there.
I believe it's actually pronounced Suvarnabhumi.
Oh, fuck you.
Francis reaches for a glass with Cork's retainer soaking in effervescent from a nearby desk and throws it in my face.
Oh, my eyes. Oh, my fucking eyes. Oh,
wait, hold on. Buzzy, you sent my ass to jail, too. What is that, like your kink, bro?
Fuck, how dare you?
Oh, come on. You know damn well my kink is watching people fart on cakes. Little asses, big cakes.
Oh, my eyes.
Guys, I don't mean to kink shame here, okay? Hell, my thing is letting amputees spit in my mouth. Preferably ex-military. But I'll settle for a diabetic in a jam.
They put me in a chain gang with an ex-military amputee. You'd be surprised how much mining a chick with one arm can do. She was 12.
Jesus, babe.
Yeah! Thank you for that awesome time!
Frances punches a hole in a stone wall, almost as though she's the Incredible Hulk. I assume every bone in her hand broke at that moment, but she never so much as flinches. It was only while suffering from an upper respiratory infection days later that I remembered Cork's house was made almost entirely out of Chinese drywall.
So, the shrooms? Okay, that was my bad, babe. Full stop. But I feel some of your pain. I went out on a vision quest shortly after you left, and sure enough, I didn't have my mushrooms. So yeah, okay, you did 7 months in a Thai prison, but I went on a vision quest without shrooms, which in the end is cardio. So I ate a huge bag of portobellos and just went on a very long walk, and then got, you know what happened? You know what portobellos do to me?
Yeah, no, I know.
Boom. Speedboat rooster tail diarrhea on the fucking trail in front of two German shepherds. Okay? This is why I told you we needed our L.L. Bean rollers monogrammed.
Really? This exact scenario is why?
To be fair, if you didn't check your bag, the TSA might have caught you here, you know? I gotta straighten all that out. Mm. You really gotta get a carry-on, babe. The fees? Outrageous. They fucking nickel and dime you with that $50.
So I should spend 7 months in a forced labor camp for checking my bag?
I'm just saying the fees is all, you know.
The fees is all? The fees is all?
They add up.
Francis laughs unnervingly and opens a switchblade while sauntering casually around the room.
You're serious?
She plays Raval's Bolero on Cork's stereo.
Every single day I was in that hellhole, I plotted and dreamed of this moment. First, I befriended my cellmate Dao, who was serving a decade for shoplifting a Snickers bar. She taught me to speak Thai, and I taught her about tannins and wine, which actually proved to be quite useless.
Yeah, of course. Francis throws the switchblade full speed and misses my face by millimeters.
Ah, holy fucking shit. Oh, my shirt. Oh, my
I didn't know it was lining up for dirty darts.
You nipped my collar. Oh,
somebody's tossed some shit at me. Sharp shit. Let's go. Come on. Scooby-Doo me.
Enough! We plan our escape together using a metal nail file Dao smuggled inside her colostomy bag. Over the course of several months, we fashioned a hole in the prison yard's chain-link fence. On the night of our escape, air raid sirens went off and they released the hounds on us. I went left. Dao went right. The image of Dao being torn apart by bloodthirsty hounds is hard-baked into my mind's eye.
Oh my
I stumbled
God.
Blindly through the jungle alone for many nights. Eventually, I crossed the border into Vietnam. I sold my hair in Ho Chi Minh City to pay for a third-class ticket on a cargo ship headed to Oakland. That ship docked yesterday.
Well, I do not know what to say, Francis. Besides, I'm sorry bloodthirsty hounds ate your cellmate.
Amen to that. Beautifully said, Buzzy.
Thanks, Jeffers. On a somewhat related note, why is Cork...
No! Bonanza!
Cork suddenly thrashes and shrieks like a coma patient waking from a 10-year night terror as if he'd been cued by the sound of his name. Lazarus syndrome is the spontaneous return of a normal cardiac rhythm after failed attempts at resuscitation. Its name is derived from the New Testament, in which Lazarus was raised from the dead by Jesus. It's exceedingly rare in modern medical literature.
Wow. Oh my god. Oh my god.
Oh.
Oh. Bummer.
Cork was not touched by Jesus.
Oh, Cork.
Oh. Oh god. That's some freaky shit.
Not all.
Francis, cover the man with a blanket at least. Like, give the dead some dignity.
I'm giving the fucking orders around here.
Don't go biting your burger just yet, darling. Mm. The night is still a puppy.
Francis rolls her good eye at us and throws a paper plate over Cork's privates.
As I was saying, why did you crucify Cork to the floor, babe?
I saw it on an episode of Oz. Oh, you mean why did I kill your friend?
Well, just, if I may, I'm guessing she wanted his phone and a struggle ensued. You know, I met with Cork, and he played me the recording he made of your attempted blackmail the night of the crush ball. Lyle, Francis knew about Cork's fake penis, and she knows that you're the son of a mob informant. She was going to blackmail the both of you into signing complete ownership of the winery over to her. Right, what she didn't count on was the fact that Cork would have the foresight to discreetly record her outlining her master plan on the night of the crush ball. Now, this is just a theory I've been cooking up, but...
Francis drops what I assume must be Cork's iPhone and a full glass of water and then slow claps in my face sarcastically.
Wow, you really blew the lid off this
okay.
one, Nancy
okay.
Drew.
Okay, you don't have to slow clap in my face, Francis.
Yeah, I'm actually just trying to regular clap that Thai prison camp John McCain both my arms.
Oh my god.
T-Rex vibes for sure. But hey, let your freak flag fly, Miss Meyer.
Well, you know, Francis, Cork played me that recording when you went missing, and I defended your honor. I insisted it was a deep fake, like the Zapruder film, and that caused the tiff. We each got so miffed that the tiff turned into a rift, if you catch my drift.
Great.
God.
Great.
I'm so sorry, Cork. You were willing to go public with the fact that African wildcats gobbled up your Johnson to defend our winery, and that took balls, which was all you had left at that point.
Cork's dead body doesn't respond.
What I don't get is why Le Mans Vineyards, Francis. You're a Stanford-educated viticulturist, a world-renowned sommelier. You could have produced cellar-worthy wines from almost any plot of land in Napa County.
You ever hear the name Buckminster Shackelford?
No.
I never did catch the name of that little freakazoid with the upside-down head who haunts my tasting room and my REM cycles. Is that who you're talking about, Franny?
No. Buckminster Shackelford was my grandfather.
Quick question.
He was my maternal grandfather. That's why we have different last names.
Ah, copy that.
Buckminster was a complete trailblazer. He was the first vintner to reject French oak barrels during the fermentation process in favor of American barrels that had previously held whiskey. Now it's common practice, but in the 70s and 80s, it rattled the Napa establishment. The buzz about how well Buck's wine was being received in test markets had the old guard genuinely fearing for the future of their brands. Cut to Marcy Davenport's father, Conrad Chester Davenport, taking matters into his own hands. Before the big harvest in August of 1983, Conrad Davenport sabotaged Grandpa Buck's entire vineyard with Phylloxera bugs, destroying the entire estate's potential yield in a matter of 72 hours.
Phylloxera bugs are parasitic insects that feed on living grapevines. Simply put, they're a winemaker's worst nightmare. In the 1860s, Phylloxera bugs caused the Great French Wine Blight and almost wiped out France's entire wine industry. In the 1980s, a Phylloxera bug outbreak mysteriously resurfaced in California and caused $1 billion worth of damage. Only a few vintners, whose crops were comprised mainly of hybrid vines known to be resistant to Phylloxera, were spared entirely. Vintners like Conrad Chester Davenport IV.
Buckminster couldn't prove Conrad was behind the sabotage, but it was a poorly kept open secret around town, and Conrad took pleasure in taunting him in public about it with total impunity. Buck was banking on that yield, providing his backers with a return on their investment, and he found himself in financial ruin during the crush ball in December of 1983, 4 months after the sabotage. Buckminster Shackelford raised his glass and made a solemn toast to Conrad Chester Davenport IV. And then he blew his fucking brains out.
Woof.
Good Lord.
Doobie doobie.
Surprise ending. What, did M. Night come up with that story?
My mother, Deborah, was too shaken by her father's suicide to even consider leaning into the family business. Against her wishes, I immediately gravitated towards winemaking as a child. While my friends were all playing with dolls and building forts or whatever the fuck kids do, I was experimenting with different yeast strains in my garage and carrying the torch for Grandpa Buck.
I hear you, sister. It is so important for a kid to have a garage-based hobby. Hell, my brother Cletus used to tinker around with meth recipes in our garage till he blew himself up. Had to wear a freaky porcelain mask to cover his charred up face like a living haunted doll of sorts. Passers-by and dumb used to gasp in horror when they saw Cletus, but in their defense, sometimes he'd just kind of materialize out of their windows in the dead of night, mouth agape, pondering who knows what.
Christ.
Anywho, now he lives on a leper colony in South America where the permanently disfigured can go about their day with a shred of dignity.
Anyway, I eventually cozied up to Marcy Davenport in my teens. I took full advantage of my access to state-of-the-art equipment over there, and I cut my teeth as a sommelier in her tasting room. I even convinced her to bankroll my viticulture degree at Stanford. Marcy still has no idea I'm Buckminster's granddaughter, and that every waking second I spent around her, I was fantasizing about taking down Davenport Winery. Napa locals thought the Shackelford Estates property was cursed after what happened there, so it's just been sitting around dormant since the 80s. I spent an entire lifetime honing my craft and saving up to buy the property, and then weeks before I was going to put a bid on it, you and Cork Scalzo swoop in and pay triple the asking price.
APTTAP. Always pay triple the asking price.
Oh my God.
That was Cork's motto. I'm sorry about your gramps, but I mean, fuck, Franny. Why didn't you tell me any of this? I loved you, and you know how I feel about Marcy Davenport. Remember when her groundskeeper threw mud at me while I was on my Segway and I face-planted into the grill of that oncoming tractor trailer?
Oh, yeah.
Split my head open like I'm some sort of stunad, mm-hmm, and I was medevaced by helicopter like some sort of total Stugatz. Yeah. I still owe a $250 copay, and it's driving me up a fucking wall. I would have gladly made you a partner in Le Mans Vineyards, and we could have buried Marcy together. We still can. There's a vacancy to be filled on the board ever since Cork passed 20-ish minutes ago.
As if on cue, Cork's corpse lets out another aptly timed forlorn toot.
I'm sorry, Cork, but it's true. Look, we don't need to get too into the weeds about what happened here today, but who among us hasn't mixed Ativan and wine while watching Passion of the Christ and seriously considered crucifying themselves to the floor? Mm-hmm. I bet the boys in blue see a lot of this. Or who knows? Maybe he fell onto the cross and he already had the stigmata, hit his head there and died like the mom from Garden State.
Okay.
Maybe it was self-defense. Everyone knows Cork has a thick cock and thin skin. So as long as all our stories match up, this could all go away. So how about this, Francis? 50% of the company is yours. And we all just walk out of here. 50-50.
Oh, wait. You're serious?
Let's just get out of here safely.
Le Mans Vineyards sits on my grandfather's land. I don't want anything to do with you or your shitty winery. It's bad enough I pretended to date you for 6 months.
Pretended to date me?
Good.
That's rich.
I sidled up to you so I could be the first to swoop in on your property as soon as I got the faintest whiff that Le Mans was heading towards bankruptcy. But no matter how garbage your product was or how many health code violations I'd call in anonymously, you and Cork kept failing upwards.
Wait, is that why you had a strict no kissing or eye contact policy?
I'm sorry.
Huh. You know, I have an advent calendar that's marked for every time that we've done sex upon each other with a corresponding piece of hair or clothing from that,
That's fucked up.
Yeah, Lyle, that's not okay, man.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, you're canceled, bucko.
So, all right. Fuck. Okay, well, I'm just trying to wrap my head around this bombshell. I thought we were getting married.
It's really pathetic.
Okay, well, look, I'm glad we cleared the air. I feel like a weight has been lifted, all right? You don't want to go halvesies on Le Mans. That's fine. I get that. I get that. You want to run your own show. It's all love, baby. And I've got acres for days, Franny. You can produce your own wine on my property. Mm. Just untie me, and we could talk turkey over some Beaujolais.
Buzzy, you're the smartest guy I ever met, but you're too stupid to see. She made up her mind 10 minutes ago, man. She's going to kill us.
Babe, this can't be true, right?
It wasn't supposed to go down like this. It really wasn't. I mean, it was. Just a little more smoothly.
Oh, fuck. Okay. Yeah, I see it now. That's the gun stuff, right?
There you go.
Okay.
Francis removes her Smith & Wesson handgun from its holster.
Oh, fuck. Oh, fuck. We're gonna die. Wait, Jeffers, Buzzy is the smartest guy you've ever met?
I mean, I'd hazard to guess he's in the top five for sure. You know, we're from a town called Dumb, right?
Fair enough.
If we're doing executions, can we talk last meals? Can we see if Cork has any quiche? Lorraine, if they have it. It's not really breakfast if you're not having bacon. I'm so hungry, I could eat out a horse.
Oh my God.
That's not how the expression goes.
I'm just saying, it's all the same to you. He usually keeps a quiche on the counter.
I could fuck with a bubbly pizza if you're taking requests. Either that or some crab rangoon. You hungies, Mr. Miles?
Honestly, yeah, I am feeling a bit peckish. You think he has any...
Enough! Who wants to go first?
Francis raises her gun and alternates between pointing it at the three of us.
I can't help but think you're a little bit crazier than we all thought, Franny.
That's right.
Well, fuck. Okay, fine. I'll die first. Should be easy. Just put the gun right in my fontanelle, right. AKA my head pussy, and pull that trigger.
She settles on Jeffers and steps towards him. He lets out a tiny squeal and shuts his eyes.
What the crap was that? Did you guys bring backup?
Francis presses the barrel of her gun hard into Jeffers' cheek. One of his remaining teeth falls out and shatters on the floor like hollow porcelain.
Answer me!
No, I swear. Okay, please don't hurt him. We don't know what that was out there.
Don't move. I'll be right back.
Francis darts out of the room in a huff. Jeffers immediately does a prolonged spit take, only he hasn't been drinking water.
She's acting like she's the queen and we're the sorry people.
Oh, Jeffers, did you barf on yourself? Oh, fuck.
Gross.
Ew.
I puked a smidge, yeah.
A smidge?
I don't know why.
Oh my God, it was a fucking full can of SpaghettiOs.
Yeah.
You probably could have made slightly more of an effort to go for the gun before she cuffed you, right, bud?
Whatever.
You didn't really do anything.
Well, you know what they say about hindsight, Miles.
Yeah, I do. Do you?
Jeffers, do you know what they say about hindsight? Do you just say stuff? Like,
mm-hmm.
Jeffers begins gnawing at Cork's fuzzy bondage handcuffs with his dead slate gray chiclet teeth. I try some therapeutic primal shrieks, but they no longer do the trick. Lyle rocks back and forth with his eyes clenched tightly closed. He chants to himself softly. I can't quite hear what he's saying from where I've been handcuffed, but I'm able to make out the words Allahu Akbar. And then, for what seems like the first time since I'd met them, both Jeffers and Lyle fall completely silent.
Okay, so who wants to start?
Anyone?
Seriously? We're gonna die in like 2 minutes and you're not gonna even try to clear the air?
Yes! Drag him, King!
Come on!
No, I'm talking to both of you, Jeffers.
Permission to go off on this fool, Mr. Miles? Permission to drag him, King?
Permission denied. Guys, just talk to each other.
Hmm.
Yeah, fine. You know what? I'll start. I'm afraid I haven't been entirely honest with either of you. Public Radio America isn't even involved with this podcast. I came to them with Jeffers' voicemails in the Francis Meyer case, and they told me to stay in my lane. They laughed at me. They laughed. They told me to get out of the conference room and to stick to curating the golden oldies hour that I do every night at 2 a.m. I'm paying for all my travel expenses out of pocket, money I don't have, maxing out credit cards. I'm not even sure if they're going to air this when it's done. Completely unrelated, my wife pressured me into an open marriage. She was the only one actively sleeping around, though. And now we're separated, okay? Yeah, I'm on Plenty of Fish and Coffee Meets Bagel, but I don't even remember I had a date, right? I don't remember my password, so I can't even log in. And when I did log in, I was courting a bot. Also, I don't even live in LA proper, okay? I rent out an elderly couple's back house in South Pasadena. Two retired professors, and they fucking hate me. They look at me, and they hate me. The last time I saw my son was 6 months ago during his Minecraft-themed birthday party. Okay, I tried to dab during the happy birthday song and dislocated my shoulder and tore my ACL. I didn't want to tell anyone, I just winced and cried in the corner. It somehow wound up on TikTok and has millions of views. My wife's new boyfriend...
Oh my god, okay, Miles, Jesus Christ, please. Holy shit, man.
That right there was the darkest shit I've ever heard.
Okay.
Look, we'll talk, just stop.
I'm just...
Fuck.
That was quite a lot, Miles.
Yeah.
What? A lot.
Come on.
Hearing that story was like the movie The Ring. I think I'm going to die a week after having just listened to that.
Okay, all right.
Buzzy, here's the deal. Truly, this whole situation broke my heart. I want you to know that while you was out there creating a dang wine empire, I was rotting in a federal penitentiary. And yes, they fucked my butt and kissed my privates in there. And some bad stuff happened, too.
Oh, gosh.
I didn't even know you rolled over on me and Black Phillip till I got out.
Jesus, Jeffers.
Come to find out, my best friend betrayed me and then disappeared. And so I drove across the damn country, wearing a diaper, crazy astronaut style. Just to find you. And I just want to know why. Why'd you do me like that, Buzzy?
Look, Jeffers, it's a fucking hell of a question. Why do I do anything? Maybe because I never had a chance to be the person I was born as. Paul Della Russo. I was given the identity of Buzzard Baldanza at age 5 and was living a life designed for me by the Witness Protection Program. I spent an entire lifetime living in the shadow of my father's mistakes. And when I saw an out and an opportunity to create a brand new identity for myself on my terms, I took it. And yes, I wasn't looking out for what could happen to the people around me, all right? You were collateral damage, like that Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, True Lies.
But you were my ride or die. You were my friend. You were my best friend. Philip is still in jail, by the way. Last I heard, he barely survived a shiv in that shish kebab's dang gallbladder.
Come on, don't throw Black Philip in my face.
Oh, my God.
You knew my family's history, the mob ties, my father's murder.
My daddy was murdered, too. You know this. By an ornery serpent.
Was my reaction really that surprising?
Yes, it was. Hell, maybe I should be thanking you. You broke my heart, but you fixed my vision. My hearing ain't worth a damn, and most times everything tastes like salt. And pork. And chicken. Bananas.
Mm-hmm.
It just depends on what I'm eating.
Yeah.
My senses are off, but I can see you real clear now.
I guess sometimes you can be the total package and still wind up at the wrong address. I had to do what was right for me, Jeffers. Not for you.
Okay. When you put it that way, I guess I see your point.
Wait, really?
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of feel like maybe I came on a little strong and misread the situation. Guess this didn't really have to be an in-person thing, per se. Egg on my face. Probably could have Skyped about all this, if I'm being honest. Anyway, I forgive you, Buzzy. No big deal.
Oh, okay. I don't even think I technically apologized.
You didn't.
Hell, I'm over it. Who cares? I don't give a fuck.
Jesus Christ, Jeffers.
Buzzy, you should come back to Dumb sometime. We could go goof off together in an affluent stranger's house like the old days.
I mean, a lot of people want me dead there, no?
Well, I mean, Amanda Knox had the cojones to go back to Italy. Surely you can take a victory lap around Dumb.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we'll see, you know.
You hear that, Mr. Miles? Buzzy's going back to Dummy.
It sounds like the opposite. It sounds like he's just sort of placating you and he's never going back.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, hey, dude.
I'm not coming back.
I don't care. I don't give a fuck about any of this shit.
Oh my God.
So what's the plan then, y'all? We're just going to sit crisscross applesauce waiting to die? Because that's a negatory for me. There's no better person to be in the trenches with than a trench. Ain't that right, Buzzy?
Oh, fuck. Yes. Dude, get us out of here, you slippery little twink. I'm having flashbacks to when you oiled yourself up and even like a dozen lifeguards couldn't get you out of the kiddie pool.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right, let me see. If I could just get my legs over my head and wriggle out of these dungarees, I could tub girl myself.
Ugh.
That would at least buy us some time.
Tub girl yourself? Like the internet meme where the woman's shooting diarrhea up into an arc into her own mouth? No.
Yeah, I mean,
How would having a torrent of diarrhea in your own face help us?
Come on, Miley. Haven't you even read The Art of War?
No.
It's all about catching the enemy off guard, throwing them for a loop.
Yep, that's chapter 8. Variation of tactics.
I guess I'm just more concerned that you can have a diarrhea on cue, Jeffers.
Okay, Boomer.
Okay. Lyle, please. Lyle.
Okay, Miles. Now look, I personally love this plan, but Jeffers?
That's me.
You don't have your fecal goggles with you.
Good point.
Yes.
Good point, disgusting. Buddy.
So, pink eye.
All right.
What else you got, Jeffers?
Let me think.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, well, Loretta's just sitting on that there bureau if we can somehow wrestle ourselves free and get to her.
Oh, shit.
She's all locked and loaded.
She is? I can't turn to see that direction. Is there a gun over there? You should have led with that.
Relax, Miles.
Why? No.
Are you thinking what I'm thinking, Buzzy?
Of course. We're going to have to look towards the world of classic cinema to help us escape.
What the fuck are you talking about? There's a loaded gun. Just get the loaded gun. Please.
Bingo. Talk about full circle. Breaking into a congressman's house to watch Amelie was our undoing. Which film is going to set things straight for us, Buzzard?
Oh, I mean...
Damn it.
We could pull an old Shawshank Redemption.
I don't hate the idea of tunneling our way out, but if we slip these cuffs, my instinct at that point is to just use the front door to exit the premises.
Oh, no. I meant if we could reach your gun,
yes.
We could all blow our brains out like the warden.
No.
He cracks me up, that guy.
I don't hate it.
I do. I think that plan is objectively bad, and I hate it.
All right. Let's placate the snowflake.
What
we gotta be alive to count as escaping. Fine. New plan, pussy.
There's no way to not take offense to this. I hate your guts.
Okay, all right, let's see. Oh, okay. Well, there's a perfectly good stiff over there that we might be able to use. Y'all ever seen Swiss Army Man?
No.
Paul Dano uses Daniel Radcliffe's tootin' corpse to get his ass out of various pickles.
Vlasic.
I'm sorry, this is coming from a very real place, but you're fucking dumb.
What?
Both of you.
No.
Let's pitch on some real ideas that don't involve suicide and or butt stuff.
That's a great idea. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
You know, Miles, you're a salty little bugger today. I'd smack that pretty little mouth of yours if I wasn't in cuffs.
Okay, Lyle.
I'd smack those DSLs right off your face.
Okay.
I said the same thing. You should have seen how cranky this little fucker was when I held him at gunpoint earlier. Oh, wait. Speaking of cuffs.
What do you mean, speaking of cuffs? That's all we should be talking about. Francis is going to be back in any second.
It looks like I'm going to have to pull a Gerald's game. That's the film we're going with.
Wait a minute. You're going to deglove yourself? Oh, don't do it, Jeffers. There's got to be another way.
Wait, what do you mean, deglove yourself? I haven't seen Gerald's Game. What does that mean?
All right, here's the deal.
Yes, I got booted off our Netflix family plan during my trial separation. Okay, kind of made the separation feel like less of a trial and more permanent, if I'm being honest.
Okay.
Yikes.
Jeffers elbows a giant framed portrait behind him in which God is reaching out to touch the tip of Cork's erect penis, Sistine Chapel style. He then elbows the portrait a second time. The glass shatters, scattering shards everywhere.
Well, Mr. Miles, this woman and her husband are doing some freaky-ass bondage-type crap when the husband dies of a massive heart attack while the lady's still handcuffed to the bed.
Jeffers uses his disgusting hobbit-like feet to bring a giant razor-sharp shard closer to him and then clumsily picks it up with his cuffed hands.
She's trapped there for days on end with no food or water. Long story short, she's left with no choice but to use a freaking shard of glass to cut off the skin of her hand.
Oh my god. Jeffers, don't.
Don't do it, Jeffers.
Why?
Without hesitation and without so much as flinching, Jeffers uses the shard of glass to start cutting off his own hand skin.
Ooh, this is stinging me something fierce.
Oh god.
He makes a deep incision all the way around his wrist and then peels off his hand skin as if it's some sort of disposable fleshy glove.
And voila, her skeleton hand is able to slip Jesus the cuffs, Christ, no problem. Man.
Jeffers frees himself and then defiantly lobs his hand skin in my general direction. It hits Cork's marble floor with a sickening slap.
And that's the tea.
Oh, Jeffers.
It just falls right off the bone.
Oof. Oh, my God.
Moons over my hammy is sitting pretty heavy right now.
Jeffers inspects his hand and wiggles his skeleton fingers.
Yeah, Grim Reaper vibes for sure. That's some freaky shit.
He then does a celebratory crip walk of sorts.
Teach me how to dougie. Teach me how to dougie.
Still got the moves. Hand skin or not, you still got it, Jeffers. Look at this guy.
Of course I do. I'm Jeffers.
I love you, Jeffers, you fucking sick freak.
I'm funny and weird and spontaneous. I'm a great friend, great partner. Whatever you need me to be, I'll do it.
The keys, Jeffers. Get the keys.
Oh, right.
Jeffers scrambles over to the coffee table for the keys to our handcuffs and grabs his gun.
Here we go.
He frees Lyle and then me, bleeding profusely on us in the process.
Okay, guys, be careful because I do have a pretty gnarly case of Hep C, so you might want to ask your GP about some antivirals if you start noticing any jaundice in the face and eyes.
Use the other hand, at least, if you're going to touch my face.
Oh, sorry, Buzzy.
Oh, fuck. Oh, no. Jeffers, I just realized something. Do you promise not to get mad at me?
No? Yes? I don't know. What?
Cork has an Alexa.
Okay.
Like, literally, right there. We could have used it to call the cops. I'm so sorry. What I'm saying is you didn't have to cut your hand off.
Okay.
Oh, I'm fucking sorry.
That's okay. Nothing a little gauze can't fix.
I mean, your hand is gone, man.
Dude.
Wait, all definitions, your hand's gone.
I know.
You have a bone hand.
Okay, enough about the hand thing, Miles. I've moved on.
Okay. Alexa, call the police.
Here's Roxanne by the police. Oh, did
Alexa, stop. Shh. I think she's coming.
Did you guys know there's a freaking bathroom attendant in this place?
Jeffers quickly hides with his weapon drawn as Francis makes her way back to us.
Was a bathroom attendant. Sweet guy. I had to take the senile mensch out back and put him down like a dog in case he yapped to the cops. Total sweetheart, though.
You killed Raymond Sr.?
Mm-hmm.
Hands up, Bellface!
Oh!
Loretta would like a word.
You're holding a gun at me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is unexpected.
My God, Francis. He destroyed Cork's entire lineage in a single evening. You're fucking insane.
Sure.
We should jerk off the corpse and get his sperm so we could save his lineage.
No,
good thinking, Miles.
That's not what I said.
Gun drawn at her temple, Jeffers carefully retrieves Francis's weapon from her grasp.
There we go.
He tosses it to me, but I'm scared and I flinch and it falls to the ground, discharging into the wall.
Oh!
Jesus Christ.
Starting to feel like home now.
Jeffers points Loretta at Francis, then briefly at himself, and often haphazardly all around the room. He at times doesn't know where he is. It's frightening, but kind of expected. He then gestures for Lyle to handcuff Francis to the ground.
Nice and easy, okay? Easy as Mac, darling. Easy as Mac.
Ugh, holy shit. What happened to your hand?
Sliced it clean off like a bologna sausage.
Ugh.
Sometimes you gotta lose some skin to save your skin, you feel me? Like how you won't go to heaven if you don't get circumcised.
Nope.
I think you're the darkest goddamn soul I've ever met.
Well, thank you.
Jeffers, you're losing a lot of blood, man. I mean,
come on, I'm Jeffers.
There's definitely multiple pints of blood on the floor, so just be careful, Jeffers, because you should be empty soon.
No, come on.
It is spraying out with your heartbeat.
Yeah.
There's a lot here. We're in, like, ankle-deep blood here, brother.
Yeah.
It's not a big deal, Miley. I've done this before.
Okay, well, blood aside, you're in no pain?
I dusted my balls off before, Miley. I can't feel a goddamn thing.
Wow.
No, but I've been with you for, like, the last 4 or 5 hours. You haven't taken anything, right?
Yeah.
You're obviously feeling some of this.
Yeah.
Damn. I like this guy. Where'd you find this freak, Lyle?
Don't you dare call Jeff as a freak.
Okay.
He's just a one-handed, gun-wielding...
That's quite all right, Buzzard. I'm a grown-ass boy. Besides, you know what they say. The freak shall inherit the earth.
Jeffers has more heart in his little, mangled, twisted, gnarled little skeletal finger than you've got in your entire slamming ass body.
Wow.
Sure, Jeffers might be a deranged drug addict.
Oh, yeah.
Easy.
Molested by almost every relative he ever met.
Hey.
Or a very online, childish, borderline schizophrenic criminal.
Tough, but fair.
Almost seems like what would happen if Jeff Goldblum spliced his DNA with the outbreak monkey instead of a fly in whatever that movie is called.
That is quite enough.
But he is an open book. And open books are easy to read, especially if they have pictures.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't lie to people who care about him, unlike you,
cool.
Or me, technically. Look, I'm sorry you lived in a physical and psychological hell for the better part of a year because I was a dumbass.
Right, yeah.
But the real dumbass move was me leaving dumb's ass behind for your dumbass.
Nah. 100% it was leaving the shrooms in my bag.
Okay, I can't argue that. You got me there, sweetheart.
Great.
That was the nicest thing anybody's ever said about me, Buzz. Do you mean it?
Of course, Jeffers. Of course. I'm so sorry I hurt you, brother.
Hurt people. Hurt people.
Lyle and Jeffers hug and then kiss each other's cheeks as if they're old European friends meeting for coffee at a cafe.
Jesus Christ, you fucking dextered my fucking lower back. Jeffers, why don't you stick around my winery for a little while, huh? You know, after we deal with this hostage and murder thing and, you know, take care of your terrible injury, get you from full fucking Luke and Empire to Luke and Jedi, we could use someone as sophisticated as you around. You know, class to join up a bit.
Well, thanks, but I don't know. There's lots that needs tending to back in Dumb. For starters, I bottle feed a grown-ass albino lady with red eyes named Snowfish. I'm worried sick about her right now.
Well, I've got all the nourishment that little lab rat could ever need right here.
Lyle gives his third nipple a honk, and a half-and-half-esque substance shoots out with such force it knocks a framed photo of Cork running a 5K off the wall.
Ugh. Yucky. I should also mention that I've already got a new best friend.
What?
So, there's that.
Oh, I think you're pointing to me with one of the 27 bones I can see in your hand, but we're not best friends, Jeffers.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't even like you.
Oh, I'm confused. What are you trying to...
I think you should stay, man.
Okay. Well, hell, Buzzy, I'm in. We could goof off together in the tasting room. I've lost my hand, but I've regained a brother.
Hell fucking yeah. You know what this calls for, huh, Jeffers?
Lyle crouches down like a sumo wrestler in front of Jeffers. Okay. Jeffers follows suit.
Ziggy zaggy, ziggy zaggy. Oi, oi, oi.
Ziggy zaggy, ziggy zaggy.
Oi, oi, oi. Buzzy Baldanza. This is for breaking my best friend's heart.
Coover Daniels, the 450-pound ex-con tattoo artist Jeffers previously assured me was at Burning Man, barges in. He's wielding a semi-automatic weapon.
Say hello to my little gun show loophole friend.
Booger,
no!
Booger!
Oh, God!
Is he dead?
Holy
1, 2, 3, wake up. 1, 2, 3, wake up. 1, 2, 3, wake up.
Booger, what have you done?
Excuse me.
Well, are you okay, bud?
Are we not trying to exact revenge on this motherfucker right here?
As the dust settles, Kimber Gunt enters. She's wearing a three-piece suit and brandishing dual pistols. She looks as though she's undergone a considerable amount of body modification on the road. Most notably, absent ears and a forked tongue.
You told him, Booger! You told him!
Kimber, please.
You told him.
Jeffers drops to his knees and cradles Lyle's head in his lap.
Don't leave me, Buzz! Not again. Oh, God, oh, baby Christ, oh, Lord, and Jew God, and Buddha dude, and Muslim bugger, and whoever the Chinese are praying to, please, I'm praying, don't take this man away from me.
Excuse me, why am I getting bad vibes right now from y'all?
Tell him, Booger.
Kimber, please.
Promise me you'll do something for me, Jeffers.
Anything. I'll do anything, Buzzard.
Delete literally everything off my phone. The obituaries will not be kind.
Yeah, that's true.
Delete the notes, all the outgoing texts, all the incoming texts, even the folder labeled schoolwork. Definitely delete that one.
Yes.
Health and fitness. Definitely delete health and fitness. And fucking put it in the fish tank. It's got to go. Passcode is 6969.
Of course it is.
I'll acid wash your hard drives too, Buzz. I'll get Hillary's guys.
But first, wish my mom happy birthday on Facebook. I already called her today, but she gets mad if I don't sign her wall too.
Lyle coughs and blood sputters out of his mouth.
Oh, God. For the amount my heart has been dragged around, I wonder if I'll ever be able to get all the gravel out.
You will, Jeffers. I promise you this. You'll get the gravel out.
Don't leave me, Buzz.
I need you to be a big, brave boy for me now. Jeff is a big, brave boy. Big, old, strong boy.
Okay.
Grab my hand. Ugh. Okay. Okay, I meant with the hand you still have skin on, but...
Well, okay, yeah.
Never
mind.
This works. Bones are warm. Something I didn't think I knew.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, fuck.
You good?
The color begins to drain from Lyle's face.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
Sorry, Lyle. Those were just kind of famously Steve Jobs' last words. So I don't...
No good? Just, no good? Yeah. Okay, fuck. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Let me take that again. It's just hard to concentrate while generations upon generations of my dead extended family are beckoning me...
Of course.
They're telling me to go with them, go off into the light, but the light is so obviously a fire, and it's either an oven of a beautiful pizzaiola, or it's hell.
For sure.
Okay, how about this one? Jeffers, get in close.
Okay.
Lyle leans forward and whispers into Jeffers' ear.
Be gay. Do crimes.
Buzzy! Buzzy!
And with that, Lyle LeMond, Robert Baldanza, and or Paul Delarusso III fell back to the floor and died. It's a warm spring morning in Calistoga, 18 months to the day after Lyle and Cork were killed. Golden sunlight glints on a rolling hillside overlooking meticulously aligned vines. The quiet, natural beauty of the grapes belie their complexity. They're temperamental and delicate. The exclusivity of it all is part of the appeal. I'm back in Napa for the first time since that night, partly due to extreme PTSD from the horrors I witnessed and partly due to a bitter divorce from my now ex-wife. Also, in no small part, due to a lack of funding. See, I was quickly fired from American Public Radio once they realized I let all my official assignments fall by the wayside to chase an, frankly, unsanctioned project which led to a double homicide. They also refused to release the project, as did every prestigious news network I pitched to, who all felt the project was, quote, a bit meandering at times, and kind of a piece of shit. A critique that admittedly hurt my feelings. Ultimately, the good folks at HeadGum Studios agreed to put it out there, albeit as a comedy, a devastating marketing decision that I've been spiraling about in therapy. Oh, and in case you're wondering, I work at a Trader Joe's now, which has been a pretty decent pay raise from public radio. Keep an eye out for me, I'm the man in the parking lot who's trying to help people park their cars. And, yeah.
Hello? Jeffers?
Miles Fletcher, as I live and breathe.
I'm here to see Jeffers, who is the new owner and proprietor of LeMond Vineyards. As I greet him in his cottage tucked away on the estate, he's trying on a new state-of-the-art prosthetic hand that doesn't seem to be to his liking.
I'm just worried it's going to hamper my DJing. You feel me?
Wow, you DJ now?
No, but I'm worried now I'm never gonna.
Jeffers tosses it aside and attaches a very dirty Nintendo Power Glove to his wrist. He says he bought it on eBay 20 minutes after an emergency amputation of his mutilated hand. It's been signed like a cast by the likes of Beetlejuice from Howard Stern's Whack Pack, Joey Buttafuoco, Scott Kahn, James Kahn, Anthony Scaramucci, and Vanna White. Oh, and perhaps most surprisingly, Marcy Davenport, who Jeffers claims to have tamed with a, quote, charm offensive.
Marcy's gonna be mad at me for letting this slip, but she ain't nothing but a pussycat. Now, don't get it twisted. If you don't know how to pet a pussycat, it's going to nip you. But if you find their sweet spot, they'll eat fancy feast right at your belly button, assuming you're an innie. You feel me, Mr. Miles?
I've never felt you, Jeffers. You know that.
I love sarcastic humor.
Jeffers tells me he's even taken to playing late-night games of Parcheesi with Marcy's centenarian panphobic mother, Eleanor Davenport, who he affectionately calls Lady Bird. He tells me they've been fighting the Sunday Scaries together, and that he plays with Lady Bird's toe beans while she reads him One Fish, Two Fish, Red Fish, Blue Fish, and various other page-turners with a palatable rhyming scheme. They eat deviled eggs and sip brandy wine together, and usually both wake up covered in piss and shit, he says.
She's old as hell, but, you know, it's kind of nice to be hanging out with somebody who's old and nearly dead.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
No.
Okay. The two women on that show are cracking me up.
Oh, okay.
I think it's Officer Skippy and Officer Dingbo.
Mm-hmm.
I might have made that up.
On the south lawn of the estate, there's a pantless woman casually playing with what appears to be a military-grade drone. As we get closer, I recognize that it's Snowfish, the squatter with albinism and bright red eyes who Jeffers has bottle-fed since she was, quote, a pup.
He tells me she's now Lamond's official poet laureate, which is a confounding choice given the fact that there doesn't appear to be anyone working the cash registers. Jeffers slathers Snowfish and SPF 100 and Baby Birds a Slim Jim into her mouth. Before we move on, Snowfish points at me ominously and tells me she knows how I'll die. Jeffers chuckles and says, she always does that. Jeffers walks me over to the visitor center of Lamond. Lyle bequeathed his share of Lamond Vineyards to Jeffers in his will, and because Cork's passing preceded Lyle's, well, that share became 100% of the company, much to Francis Meyer's dismay.
This gumby-ass meth head isn't entitled to one red cent! It's my land, goddammit! Grandpa Buck is buried in it!
Order.
I worked at the French Laundry. The French fucking Laundry!
Order. Ma'am. You're on trial for murder, not Mr. Trench. And Mr. Trench, please stop attending these hearings in an orange jumpsuit and shackles that look like they were purchased at a Spirit Halloween. It's confusing for me, the jury, and the press.
Okie dokie, Father.
It's your honor.
Luke, I am your honor.
I'm gonna kill you!
Order! Order!
Francis was sentenced to 25 years to life in prison, eligible for parole in 2039. Booger didn't fare quite as well.
Due to the repeated nature of your criminal offenses and the clear premeditation in which you killed the victim, I sentence you, Coover Daniels, to life in prison.
Oh, no.
With no eligibility for parole.
Fuck!
Order!
Excuse me!
Booger was sent to a maximum security penitentiary in Florence, Colorado, a supermax prison often referred to as the Alcatraz of the Rockies. Kimber Gunt fled the scene of the shootout in Napa, and there is currently an outstanding warrant for her arrest.
I feel for Booger, man. Hell, that wasn't his fault, but he's in a better place now. I mean, he ain't dead, but he came close to it.
Denouncing the Aryan Brotherhood and all other gangs, Booger was ostracized and beaten regularly by inmates. He eventually got permission to start a class on mindfulness. An Armenian gang kingpin sparked to it, providing Booger with enough protection to exist peacefully on his own at the prison. Rumor has it there's been an uptick in stick-and-poke sugar glider tattoos at Florence since his incarceration.
Hell, I almost damn near killed a man myself. No good deed, Miles. No good deed.
Jeffers, just for argument's sake, why don't you take a crack at finishing that expression for me?
The no good deed part?
No good deed goes on.
No good deed goes on. It's like a Mad Lib.
Yeah, okay.
It's good to see you again, Miles.
On the night of Cork and Lyle's murder, Raymond Sr., Cork's father, was resuscitated by paramedics and placed on life support. Jeffers, who has type O negative blood, demanded to donate however much of his blood was necessary to save Raymond's life. This was an incredibly risky transfusion since he just lost 25% of his own blood. Jeffers actually needed a transfusion himself after donating more blood than his body could spare, and the doctors found the whole ordeal to be unnecessarily cumbersome. But thankfully the procedure worked, albeit with a few complications due to a litany of STDs present in Jeffers' blood. Raymond Sr. resides at Promenade Assisted Senior Living in Petaluma, California. He's HIV positive.
Just for clarification, you never even met the man.
I was a bathroom attendant myself once. More of an unpaid internship in an Amoco rest stop off I-95, to be honest. TBH.
You once hung out in a gas station bathroom for a while, and that inspired you to give your diseased blood to a dying man. Is that it?
Yep. We're a tight-knit fraternity, Miles. You wouldn't understand.
Okay.
Keep on, compadre!
Harley Jackson drives on a tractor, chomping on perhaps the largest cigar I've ever seen in my life, Groucho Marx style. She uses a mouth joystick, or sip-and-puff assistive technology, to control the tractor, which is a breath-controlled tool used by people who do not have the use of their arms and legs. I learned that Harley is on a waiting list to be the recipient of the first head transplant, her body having all but failed her at this point due to an ailment that a team of doctors agreed started as a general malaise. Guests at Lamond affectionately refer to her as Krang and line up for photos with her.
That's Harley. She's a bull goose, loony, and the best gal I know. At first, I thought she was a sleep paralysis demon I couldn't shake, but you can see her too, right, Miley?
Yeah, no, I can see her.
Okay.
We've actually met several times.
Oh, fuck, we have?
Harley runs most of the day-to-day operations at Lamond Vineyards, while Jeffers largely works as the new face of the company. One of his first orders of business was releasing an inhalable wine called the Graperizer. It's a highly controversial vaporized alcohol capable of getting users intoxicated in seconds. He says it's a nod to his dusting roots.
It's not really a nod so much as literally dusting alcohol.
Yeah, had that eureka moment on one of my many fruitful walks, Mr. Miles.
That's right. You're a people walker now, correct?
Yeah, I guess it's sort of a side hustle wrapped into my main gig in a beautiful symbiotic kind of way, Miles.
And just for our audience, what exactly is people walking?
It's what we've been doing together this whole time, Miles. You feel me?
I don't, and I never will.
Okay.
I should mention that shortly after Jeffers was called to the stand to testify against Francis Meyer, he completely dropped his pronounced limp while walking away from the courthouse for an audience of no one. He tells me he'd been playing the long game for several years in hopes that he would one day have his Kaiser Soze moment a la The Usual Suspects.
I guess I just don't understand who that bit was for.
Look, Miley, I pick my ruses the same way Clooney picks his roles. It's a one for me, one for them kind of sitch. I've already said too much. Let's not take the piss out of it.
I discreetly followed Jeffers along on a few of his people walks, which he's chosen to do today dressed as the Babadook. I am immediately surprised by his ability to connect with just about anyone.
You know, the Jacaranda isn't really native to California, but neither am I.
Interesting. I thought this was a Cabernet vine.
Mm-hmm, I hear that. The way you make your bed is the way you're gonna sleep, my friend.
You're so wise.
The wisest of all counselors. It's time.
Could you stop touching my face?
Okay. To say that I miss you, Busy. You are my best and only friend. And I
After finishing with his people walking sessions for the day, I accompany Jeffers to visit Lyle's grave, which he says he does daily. On the day of Lyle's funeral, Jeffers gave an unhinged speech in which he attempted to paraphrase the entire Quran while peppering in the poem from 10 Things I Hate About You, a barefoot Contessa recipe for veal scallopini, and a freestyle rap that attendees described as, quote, very dark even by funeral standards, and, quote, mostly about a raccoon.
And Buzzy, that is why I miss you. Miles, what do you have to say?
Buzzy's grave's over here.
Ah, dang it, that says Brian, huh?
Yeah, that says Brian. It's okay. The gravestone simply reads De La Russo.
Here Buzzy is.
We stand in a moment of silence. Jeffers didn't ask me to come back out to follow up on this story. Neither did Public Radio America. Jeffers seems like he couldn't care less about whether the story he set in motion and devoted his life to pursuing will ever be heard. And it finally strikes me at this moment. Perhaps he never did. Corked is written, directed, and edited by Giancarlo Fiorentini and Jonathan Grimm. This episode stars Anthony Gio, Betsy Sodaro, Whitmer Thomas, John Gabris, and Natalie Palamides. It features additional performances by Josh Rubin, Ali Beardsley, Sean Harrison, and Tony Saragusa. This episode is mixed by Zach McNeese. Our theme song, Tiptoe Through the Tulips, is arranged and performed by Jeff Plate and produced by Paul Ritchie. This episode features the song Moon Eclipsed the Sun by Avolfo, released by Royal Potato Family, and Infant, featuring The Shacks by L. Michaels Affair, released by Big Crown Records. Special thanks to Jake Hurwitz, Amir Blumenfeld, Marty Michael, Amir Cohen, Katie Moose, Marika Brownlee, Kayla Moriarty, Connie Chen, Grayson Wise, Casey Donahue, Anya Kanovskaya, Emma Foley, Ali Khan, and the rest of the HeadGum team. And thank you to Kelly Fiorentini and the Fiorentini family, Sarah Grimm and the Grimm family, Annette Iceborough, Anthony Geo, Max Dalton, Jeff Plate, Marissa Melnick, Caroline Frost-Szymanski, and Mike Comite. In loving memory of Mickey, one of the greatest cats to ever do it.
Was a HeadGum original.